हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभां व्यास शंकर मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तां वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्ति भेद विभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्त देहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममांगानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्व निराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शांति शांति शांतिः। ॐ केनेषितं पतति प्रेषितं मनः केन प्राणः प्रथमः प्रैति युक्तः केन प्राणः प्रथमः प्रैति युक्तः केन ईशितां वाचमिमां वदन्ति चक्षुश्रोत्रं क उदेवो युनक्ति। श्रोत्रस्य श्रोत्रम्
श्रोत्रस्य श्रोत्रम्
मनसो मनः
मनसो मनः
यद्वचोह वाचम्
यद्वचोह वाचम्
स उ
स उ
प्राणस्य प्राणः
प्राणस्य प्राणः
चक्षुषश्चक्षुः
चक्षुषश्चक्षुः
अतिमुच्य धीराः
धीराः
प्रेत्य
प्रेत्य
अस्माल्लोकात्
अस्माल्लोकात्
अमृता भवन्ति
अमृता भवन्ति
प्रेत्यास्माल्लोकात् So in the second mantra, it is very clearly stated, firmly stated, a fact. Amrutaha bhavanti. Dhiraha amrutaha bhavanti. Wise people become immortal. How do they become immortal? Do they really become immortal? No, they do not become immortal. They recognize their real nature. They recognize their self being eternally immortal. They recognizing the fact that essential nature of one's own self, one's own innermost self. The meaning of the word I, the content of I, actually is beginningless, endless, changeless, independent, self-existent, pure consciousness, pure knowledge implied by the term Atma, is ever of the nature of immortality. Atma has no beginning, Atma has no end, Atma is not subject to change, Atma is indestructible. Atma is not subject to death. What is death? What is mortality? Death is a change. Birth is a change. Death is a big change. Birth is a big change. In between these two changes, many changes happen. And constantly undergoing change is the nature of the matter. So body has birth, which is a change. Body has death, which is a change. In between, also the many changes happen. That is the nature of the matter. But what about the consciousness? Consciousness is the abstract, subtlest, formless, all-pervasive reality. Vastu, sad vastu. Consciousness has no beginning, has no end, has no death, no change. Consciousness is of the nature of changelessness. It is formless. Formlessness is the swarupam. So, when a person recognizes the fact, I am consciousness, I is consciousness, I cannot be identified with anything else. Body which comes and goes, body is not the content of I. Sense powers are not the five sense powers. None of the powers is content of I. Five powers of organs of actions, none of it is content of I. Physiological function, five functions are there, none of the functions is content of I. No thought, no emotion is a content of I. No cognition, no understanding, no knowledge, no ignorance is content of I. Manifest power is knowledge, unmanifest power is ignorance. The power is not content of I. Then what is the content of I? Even the trait, ignorance is a trait. Ignorance of something, knowledge of something is not content of I. Then what is the content of I? What cannot be negated is content of I. And all these negated things, what all negated as non-contents of I, Anatma, non-self, they're all non-material objects. Known means object. Object means inert. Inert means subject to change. Comes and goes, time bound. Time itself is time bound. We're going to see that today. So what is it then? With what is it which doesn't come, which doesn't go and undergo any change? Is the knower of the known. Everything else is known. What cannot be taken as the known? What is that which is not an object of knowledge? The knower. The subject of knowledge is the known. Subject of knowledge is not an object of knowledge. And who is this knower? How do you arrive at the knower? You distinguish the knower from the known only by analyzing the individual. Without analyzing the individual, without going through this method of distinguishing the subject from the object, known as drishya viveka prakriya, you cannot distinguish the subject of knowledge from the object of knowledge. You cannot distinguish the knower from the known. To distinguish the knower from the known, who actually is the knower? You have to distinguish. Because the knower and the known are inseparably together. Like how light and the opaque are inseparable, how water and the wave are inseparable, knower and the known are inseparably together. Who is the, what is the illuminator? Who is the illuminator? What is illumined? What is subject and what is object? So this analysis helps you distinguish the subject of knowledge from the object of knowledge. Whose analysis? Individual analysis. It's called Vyashti Swarupa Vicharaha. Vyashti Swarupa Vicharaha, or analysis of the individual, means enquiry into the essential nature of the individual. Enquiry into the essential nature of individual. Analysis of individual. You can say Atma Swarupa Vicharaha or Vyashti Swarupa Vicharaha. Vyashti, Vyashti means individual. Vyashti Swarupa Vicharaha, enquiry into the essential nature of individual. Or the method of distinguishing the subject of knowledge from the object of knowledge. The method of distinguishing the knower from the known is called Drik Drishya Viveka Prakriya. Prakriya means method. Drik means knower, seer. Drishyam means known. Drik Drishya Viveka Prakriya means the method of distinguishing the knower subject from the known, the object of knowledge. So without, we only by using this methodology, we distinguish the knower from the known. And the known, the very fact it is known, is the proof that it is of the nature of inertness. Because it is known means inert, and it is material, matter, material product. And what cannot be negated as an object is, you stop with the subject, the knower. And finally, everything is negated as object means, what is non-negatable as object is the subject. And now we ask the subject of knowledge, who this knower is, what this knower is. If you really search, you have to see, you are the knower. I has to be identified as the knower. I has to be, I sense has been shifted from the known, identified as the knower. Okay, cognitively, I sense must be shifted from the known and identified as the knower. All these days, until you do this analysis, your identity was with the known. I the knower was unknowingly identified with the known body. I the knower was identified with the known sense organs. I the knower was identified with the known mind, thoughts, emotions. I the knower was identified with the known physiological functions. The known is anatma, material, anatma, inert. Known was taken to be the I. The known was taken to be the, taken as the knower. Knower was identified with the known. This is what is called erroneous self-perception, adhyasaha. Because of this adhyasa, all wrong notions, wrong conclusions, whole samsara is caused by adhyasa, error. And the error will be corrected when the essence is shifted from the known to the knower. Not physically, cognitively. Okay? To shift the essence from the knower, known to the knower, to see the I being the knower, to see the fact of I is none other than the knower. I is the knower, I am the knower. It's a leap. Understanding. Then you search, ask this question, I the knower, I am the knower, distinct from, not distant, distinct but not distant from the known, physical, physiological, emotional, intellectual, you know, layers of personality. Distinct from all these layers of personality, it means, who am I, the knower? What am I, the knower? Who is this knower? Who is this knower? Who the knower is? Who is this knower? If you really see, stand, place your attention in this knower, ask this question, who this knower is, you cannot find any form, no gross form, no subtle form. Subtle form in terms of thoughts, etc., no. No gross form, no subtle form, no form at all. You only understand, you can't deny the fact there is knower. But Because from the standpoint of known, there is knowledge of the known. There must be knower. There is knower. But who is this knower? First fact to understand, arupaha, formless. There is something which is formless, attributeless, changeless, beginningless, endless, independent. What is that knower? That knower is reality. You have to resolve that knower status in reality. When you say knower is reality, you are cognitively resolving the knower status in reality. Now resolve it, you say what? There is only reality, there is no knower other than reality. Like what? When you say illuminator in this hall is light, illuminator of all these opaque things, opaque physical form, opaque colors, the illuminator in this room is light. When you say, you are cognitively, intellectually resolving the illuminator status in light. Nothing you are doing physically, which means there is a clear understanding. Light and illuminator, two different words, but there cannot be illuminator without the light. Light is turned off, illuminator will disappear, which means illuminator is only a qualification attributed to the light from the standpoint of the illumined objects. Similarly, if you see, if we analyze who this knower is, who the knower is, you are 100% sure there is knower, formless, abstract. How subtle it is? Inexplicably subtle. Can you explain? No, inexplicably subtle. But there is knower. That knower is reality. Knower is vastu. When you say knower is reality, knower is vastu, you have cognitively resolved the knower status in vastu. Which means knower and vastu are not two different things. Abstract. Knower is only a qualification of the vastu from the standpoint of the known thoughts, states of mind, states of experience, sense powers, and those sense powers, external world. Really speaking, there is no knower other than the vastu. And next question comes, why does the vastu know? Why does the vastu, the formless, abstract, inexplicably subtlest reality, why does it know? Why does it know? Why does the light illumine? Illumining is its nature, swarupam, not an action. Light need not do any action to illumine things here. Similarly, reality, the vastu, obtaining as the innermost essence of the individual, arrived at non-negatably, as a non-negatable knower. That vastu is of the nature of knowing. Knowing is the swarupam. Why does it know? Knowing is the swarupam. That is why the word jnanam is used. Janate iti jnanam. The word jnanam, vastu, is not the immediate meaning of the word jnanam. The word jnanam reveals reality in terms of its nature of knowing. Is it clear? Jnana. So, Chaitanyam we say. So, reality can be arrived at, has to be arrived at only in terms of its nature of knowing, as the Swarupam, the truth of the knower. Only by analyzing the individual, only through the analysis of the individual, there is no way of arriving at the nature of reality in terms of consciousness. Individual analysis has to be done. Is it clear? Then that Swarupam, and it is this formless reality which is of the nature of knowing, is also of the nature of all pervasiveness. Therefore it is implied by another term, Atma. Okay, so all pervasive reality which is of the nature of knowing is implied by the term consciousness. Chit, Chaitanyam, knowledge, has to be arrived at only as the truth of the knower through the analysis of the individual. Is it clear? You say analysis of the individual is analysis of one's own self, not somebody else. That's why we say Atma Swarupa Vichara, enquiry into the nature of one's own self. Once you arrive at it, it is that truth. What is that formless, abstract reality which is of the nature of knowing, implied by the term Atma, is content of I. Is it clear? Therefore, and that consciousness is distinct from the known when you say so. Here we saw, and consciousness is ever of the nature of immortality. When you say the entire known, innumerable, countless forms, names and functions existing within the realm of time and space, the entire objective universe is what? Matter. And there is consciousness. Yet seeing two, are they two? Are they one? No. They are not one. Consciousness is of, vastu is of the nature of consciousness. The knower is of the nature of consciousness, knowing. Matter is of the nature of inertness. How can we say they are one? They are not one. Then can we say they are two? No. They are neither one nor are they two. When you say not to, it's called advaitam. Because matter is never countable as a parallel reality. Why can't we count matter? You reduce the objective universe, including your body, mind and complex, as matter. Reduce the entire objective universe, including your body, mind and complex, as matter. Known category. Okay. And the knower, consciousness, is what? Knower is consciousness, the known is matter. And the known, the material objective universe, doesn't have independent existence of its own. It is never countable as a parallel reality. Therefore, it is not unreal, it is not non-existent. At the same time, it is not absolutely real because it doesn't have independent existence of its own. Therefore, another term is used, mithya, which is dependent on satyam, the atma, for its existence. Is it clear? Atma satyam, anatma mithya. Okay. Satyam is not mithya, but mithya is satyam. Satyam is not mithya, but mithya is satyam. You say mithya is satyam, when you say mithya is non-different from satyam. Anatma is non-different from atma. But atma is not anatma. Atma is distinct from anatma. Atma is distinct from anatma. But anatma is not different from atma. Is it clear? They are not two. So what is only reality. Only secondless, non-dual reality implied by the term atma. Okay, and you are atma. It's clear? Okay. So, and where is the death for atma? Tell me. Where is the birth for atma, death for atma? So being immortal is the nature of atma. And recognizing this fact, discovering this most abstract fact, understanding the fact, okay, seeing what is a real, is what? Is attainment of immortality. So, dhiraha, wise people are those people who have understood this fact. And they become immortal means what? They remain immortal, taking ownership of the fact that Atma is immortal. Okay? Ownership of the nature of Atma as their own Surup. And because of this vision, even though they are living in this world with the body, mind and complex, still all the wrong notions have been resolved in the light of knowledge of what the self is. Being free from all wrong notions, they are objective towards their own body, mind and complex. Therefore, they are free while living. Jivan Muktaha. That is what is implied by this expression Atimuchya. That is what is meant by the expression Atimuchya. Asmal lokat pretya stands for they become objective towards their own body, mind and complex. Which means there is no more identity with the anatma, body, mind and complex. When I say there is no identity with the body, mind and complex in the wake of the knowledge means they do not see anything which is different from, separate from the self. Okay, that's also important, very important. And such people, when they live their lives, the Bhartha gets exhausted and the mind is blank, mind resolves, they do not return, which is known as Videha Muktihi. I already explained in the morning. I already moved on to the next verse also. I remember. Okay. These things have to be clarified. Okay. And we saw this morning, Natatra Chakshur Gacchati,
Natatra Chakshur Gacchati,
Nava Gacchati,
Nava Gacchati,
No Manaha,
No Manaha,
Na Vidmaha,
Na Vidmaha,
Na Vijanimaha,
Na Vijanimaha,
Yatha,
Yetad,
Yetad, Anusishyat,
Anusishyat,
Anyadeva,
Anyadeva,
Tad,
Viditat,
Atah,
Aviditat,
Adhi,
Adhi,
Iti Sushruma,
Purvesham,
Ye,
Naha,
Tad,
Vyachachakshire.
So I made it very clear this morning. I'm just going to clear my word. What is this Atma? Because, know why I went back to this much explanation again? Because my dear Ishwar asked me in the morning why I used the term Atma. Vastu I must have used. Why I used the term Atma? That is why I went back. Okay, nothing wrong. It's good. Everybody is happy. Vastu, the reality, arrived at as the reality can be arrived at only in terms of its swarupam. There is no other way of stumbling upon the vastu, the reality. How are you going to arrive at the reality? Because no form. Somebody has to explain to you what it is. How does Sappadilla look? I can bring it and show it to you. You can see. If I can't bring it to you, I can draw, I can paint, I can color, I can show. I can describe it. Or something similar which you know, I can show it is something like that. I can explain. Because it is a form. It's a form. So it must have, it must belong to a given species if it has to be described. It must have some attribute, some color, some fragrance, some smell, some taste, something it must have to describe. No guna, no jati, no sambandha. From the standpoint of reality, if you see, where is the sambandha? There were two independent things for one to be to be related to the other. You cognitively have regulated everything as mithya. What is only satyam? What relationship does Atma have with anything else? No relationship. It cannot have any relationship. What is only Atma? Between Mithya and Satyam, there cannot be relationship. Relationship, connection is possible only between two factors which enjoy the same order of reality. Between two people, okay, there's a teacher-student relationship, husband-wife relationship, son-father relationship, friends relationship. There's not two, the Satyam and Mithya are not of two orders of reality, two different orders of reality. not same order of reality. Understand? So there's no relationship. So no jatihi, no gunaha, no kriya, no sambandaha. Therefore, all these factors are not there and depart of Atma. So there's no way of describing Atma. Atma cannot be described at all. Words fail.
Yato vacho nivartante apraapya manasasaha.
Words try to describe, they fail. What does it mean? Atma is not available for word description. Because it is not even available for sense perception. It is not even available for thought conception. It is inconceivable, imperceptible, indescribable. Understand? That's why it says, Tatra Chakshuhu Nagachati. Sense power cannot go there. Means Atma cannot be seen through sense organ, seeing power. Atma cannot be perceived through any of the sense organs. Now Vagachati, no word can describe access to Atma. This much we saw in the morning. Na manaha. Now we'll come to the next point. See, there are objects which can be perceived through sense organs and which can be described also. If we ask you, how does honey taste? How does neem leaf taste? What's the big question you're asking? Honey is very sweet. You know, honey is very sweet and neem leaf is very bitter. Can you describe honey? Yes, honey has a color, form, texture. You can touch it, you can see it, you can describe. You can describe the color of the honey, texture of the honey. You can draw, you can paint, you can explain, you can describe, create poetry. And how does the neem leaf look? You can describe it because it's a form. You can take contact with the shape, color, smell, even the smell. Okay, would you please explain the sweetness of honey and bitterness of neem leaf? There you are stuck. You cannot describe. Even that itself, words are incapable of describing the bitterness and sweetness. The form it can describe, texture it can describe. The question of taste comes, you cannot describe. How is sweetness? Could you please describe? One spoon of honey put in the mouth. You can know what sweetness is. Understand? Sweetness, you can know what sweetness is. But can you describe what sweetness is? No. I mean, sweetness is not available for. Understand? Word description. Available for sense perception. If honey is put in your mouth, you can know the taste, what sweetness is. Sweetness is available for sense perception, not for word description. And the sweetness you can understand. Now, there are some other factors. Compassion, kindness, affection, warmth, love, care, are these factors available for sense perception, available for word description, only for thought conception. You know, understand, only mind, you can cognitively appreciate the love. Can I see through physical eyes love? Can I appreciate what care is? When a person perceives something desirable, pleasing, and sees something desirable, pleasant, pleasing, then the person's thoughts are resolved, there a certain condition of mind which is love. That explains almost some cheerfulness. This is not perceptible. It's not available for word description, not available for sense perception. It's something to be appreciated cognitively. Okay, but now Atma. I want you to understand how even within the realm of objective universe, there are certain factors which can be only appreciated cognitively, intellectually. Certain things are available for word description. Certain things are available for sense perception. Okay, but what about Atma? See, all sense organs, all organs of actions are all within the realm of objective material universe. Is it clear? The manifest universe. What about the sense powers? Sense powers are all part of the manifest universe. What about the powers of organs of actions? Part of manifest universe. What about your mind? Part of the manifest universe. Okay. The sense organs. What about the words? Words are also expressions of manifestation of knowledge. So words, sense powers, mind, all of them are within the realm of manifest universe. Is it clear? They're all within the realm of manifest universe. And what about the manifest universe? This morning I told you, manifestation the universe is power of reality manifest is in the form of universe. The power of reality is manifest, the universe shines. Is it clear? The whole universe is expression of manifestation of power of reality, otherwise known as knowledge. Thoughts onwards. What about the thoughts? Manifestations of knowledge. What is mind as a whole? Manifestation of knowledge. What about the sense organs? Manifestations of knowledge. What about the organs of actions? Manifestations of knowledge. What about the physiological functions? Manifestations of knowledge. What about the physical body? All the organs, all the functions, all manifestations of knowledge. What about the world external to the body, mind, and complex, karya, karana, sanghata? Time is manifestation of knowledge. Space is manifestation of knowledge. All mobile, immobile, chara, acharam, jagat, characharam, jagat. All the forms, names, and functions which come and go. The mobile and immobile beings, elements, and the elementals. Mobile and immobile beings, Chetana Chetanam, living and non-living things, the world of universe of mobile, immobile beings, living, non-living things, animate, inanimate beings, the entire world, including every individual body, mind, sense complex, is manifestation of power of reality. Is it clear? When the power of reality is manifest, there is a universe. It means when the whole universe shines, the power is manifest, power is recognizable. Oh, how amazing power! The power is not manifest, we do not know, it is non-recognizable. Power has to become manifest for you to recognize, for it to be recognized. Recognizable, how it is the power of reality, power of knowledge, power of knowing alone is manifest as time, space and everything. Is it clear? Everything is power of manifest power. So where are the words? Words are within the realm of manifest power. Manifest universe. Is it clear? Where are the sense organs? Within the realm of manifestation. Where is the mind? Within the realm of manifestation. Is it clear? No. When the whole universe is unmanifest, the universe is non-recognizable, the universe is unmanifest, the universe is not undifferentiated, everything remains as one unmanifest, undifferentiated ignorance, total ignorance. How to understand? The whole jagat becomes unmanifest. If the universe becomes unmanifest, means what? Universe becomes non-recognizable. Non-recognizable, undifferentiated. Undifferentiated means what? Remains as one, unmanifest, undifferentiated. What is unmanifest, undifferentiated? Power. How to understand? What is the name of the power then? Ignorance, ajnanam, avidya, avyakriti, avyaktam, pradhanam, maya. How to understand? You can never understand maya. Okay, I give an example. A child can never be the marriage album of parents. So you are here means already manifest. Maya has become manifest. How can you understand maya? So you, by analyzing your own deep sleep state, you can understand how maya would have been. Deep sleep state, you are, and there's no experience of anything else, means what? There is ignorance. What is ignorance? Ignorance of your own existence, ignorance of the existence of the world is total ignorance. Okay, that is how you are in sleep. So even when the Mahapralayam takes place, the whole universe becomes unmanifest. Also, exactly how you are in sleep, so you will be in even when the dissolution takes place. Which means you are safe and comfortable, nothing happens to you. When you fall asleep, nothing happens to you. What happens to you? What happens to you in sleep? Do you die in sleep? Oh, I die. Nothing happens to you in sleep. You are very much there. The whole universe becomes unmanifest, undifferentiated. So you will be in death, so you will be in pralaya. Is it clear? Which means, And who is that you who is always there? Who is the one? Who is that you? That you who is in sleep, not knowing one's own existence, existence of the world. That not knowing means what? The ignorance is there, you are there. And what is the distance between you and ignorance? No distance. Is it clear? That ignorance is power of, you were looked upon as power of reality. You say unmanifest power of reality. Now tell me, what is the knower of the unmanifest power of reality is distinct from the known power of reality. Is it clear? The knower of ignorance is distinct from ignorance. Is it clear? The knower of ignorance, you're all with me? You're all with me? Knower of ignorance is distinct from the known ignorance. Therefore, knower is not ignorant. It's okay? You say, I am ignorant, there itself adhyasa comes. The I is identified with ignorance. You say what? I am ignorant. I was ignorant. I did not know anything. That's not true. Okay? You were there knowing the ignorance. Not as an action, by your very nature. See, whatever comes in light, light will illumine. Like, Atma, the consciousness is there always. When ignorance is there, ignorance is illumined. Is it clear or not? You cannot talk about the ignorance, but ignorance is known. Is it clear? The knower of ignorance is distinct from the known ignorance, which is unmanifest power. Now, that power becomes manifest, then no more ignorance. In the sense, undergoes a change, then there is manifestation of knowledge. There cannot be stillness and waves together. So when the universe is shining, there is power of reality is manifest as the universe. Power of reality unmanifest is what? Ajnanam. Power of reality manifest is what? Jnanam. What about the reality? The knower of knowledge and ignorance. Knower of knowledge. Knower of ignorance. Is it clear? Knower of the manifest universe. Knower of knowledge. Knower of ignorance is distinct from the known ignorance and knowledge. And that knower is reality implied by the term Atma. Is it clear? And why does the knower know? Knowing is Swarupam. The reality is pure knowledge. Okay? And world is what? Manifestation of knowledge. Manifest knowledge. Manifest power is knowledge. Unmanifest power is ignorance. And the source of the power, the knower is the source of the power of knowing. Knower Atma is the source of the power of knowing. Who is the powerful here? Who is the powerful? Reality. Is it clear? Powerful is reality. The knower is distinct. Now tell me, if sense powers, powers of organs of actions, speech, words, mind, all of them are within the realm of material universe. How can they have access to Atma, the source of power? Is it clear now? Why sense powers do not have access? Why words cannot describe? Why mind cannot conceive? Because how can mind, sense organs and words, which are part of the manifest universe, the material universe, mithya universe, how can they have access to Satya Atma, the source of the power? All got it? You are seeing this? You must say yes or no. A very important lesson. Very, very important. So that is why see, all the instruments of knowledge are within the realm of material universe. Matter, which is the power. An Atma is source of power. How can the instruments of knowledge, which are within the realm of the material world, can have any access to Atma, the source of the power? Is it clear? Therefore, and any word the teacher says, what is the word? Now you know very well, what is a word? Word is expression of manifestation of knowledge. And what is Atma? Atma is the source of knowledge, source of power. Is it clear? Therefore, the teacher is very careful. He does not want to say one word. Because no, Atma can never be the immediate meaning of any word. Atma can never be the immediate meaning of any word. Now, we understand why it cannot be? You must see right now. We do not say again, repeat tomorrow. What I started in the morning, I am continuing now. Therefore, viditat aviditat adhi means Atma is distinct from the known and the unknown. Means Atma is distinct from the cause and the effect. Atma is distinct from the unmanifest and the manifest. Unmanifest power in terms of ignorance, Maya, manifest power in terms of the universe, Atma is distinct from them. And that Atma cannot be denoted by any word. Do you see the beauty of it? So, viditat aviditat adhi, therefore tatra vakna, tatra chakshu na gacchati, vakna gacchati na manaha. Now the teacher says, therefore, na vidmaha. Look at this. The teacher tells. Now we are moving on next part. See, the first two lines must be very clear. You must see what I am teaching right now. The very important mantras, all these mantras are very beautiful mantras. Now the teacher says, this is how Atma is. This is what the words are. Okay, Atma is distinct from both viditam and aviditam, karanam and karyam. Unmanifest power is karanam. Manifest universe is karyam. Karanam and karyam. Karanam is also unmanifest power. Karyam is manifest power. But the source of power is distinct from the power. Is it clear? So known and unknown, manifest and unmanifest, effect and cause are all within the realm of matter. And consciousness is distinct from the known unknown matter. Consciousness is distinct from cause and effect matter. Consciousness is distinct from cause and effect, known and unknown, manifest and unmanifest. Is it clear? And that consciousness is, there is no way of using any word. That is why Dakshinamurti actually is a personification of consciousness, the source of all knowledge. And how does Dakshinamurti teach? Only Dakshinamurti can remain silent. All other teachers have to speak. Understand? What it means is, consciousness, Atma, reality, the source of all knowledge, is not an immediate meaning of any word. That is what is implied. Therefore, now the teacher says, Na vidmaha. Let's go to the next word now. Na vidmaha.
Na vidmaha.
Na vidmaha, we do not know. The teacher says, we do not know. We do not know Atma. Means what? We do not know Atma means, Atma is not object of knowledge. Why we do not know? If Atma is object of knowledge, we can know. I know Mike, I know light, I know this person, I know that person. I know something means that something known becomes object of knowledge. And we can never say, I know Atma. I know Atma means the expression itself is wrong. No way. You make Atma an object. The teacher is very smart. What? Na vidmaha. We do not know Atma. Immediately the two students must be wanting, my God, my teacher, the teacher himself says we do not know. How is he going to teach us? And when he used the word plural, see, we do not know. Aham na janami, he doesn't say. Vayam na vidmaha. We do not know means, he says, all the teachers, the predecessors in the lineage, predecessors, the teachers in the lineage, the sampradaya, all teachers, no teacher can say, we know, I know Atma. Why? Atma is not an object of knowledge. We do not know. Then he says, Na vijani maha. First he says, we do not know Atma, which means, when the teacher says, I do not know Atma, what does he mean? I am Atma. There's a big difference in saying, I am Atma and I know Atma. The teacher says, I know Atma, come and teach you, means he does not know. Understand? He can't say, I know Atma. So he says, he's very, very careful. We do not know Atma means, I do not know Atma. And all of our predecessors, the ancestors, the teachers in the lineage, we do not know Atma. Because Atma is, we do not know Atma means, we ourselves are Atma. What does it mean? We are Atma. I am Atma. If we say, I know Atma, Atma becomes object of my knowledge. Means there is no knowledge. I am Atma. The content of I is Atma. The surupam of I is Atma. Understand? I am Atma. We are Atma. We do not know Atma. Then he says, Na vijani maha. We do not know. Yatha yetad anusishyat. How to communicate this Atma? How to teach? Understand? We do not know. we do not know how to teach. Don't think the teacher does not know. What he says is, we do not know any other method of unfolding the nature of Atma. We do not know yatha yetad anusishyat. How to teach, how to unfold, we do not know. Then how, what do you know? This is how we know. Shrotrasya shrotram chakshusha chakshuhu. This is how we can teach. We do not know any other method. What the teacher says is, we do not know, we cannot handle any other method of teaching reality. So first he says, we do not know means we do not know Atma. Why we do not know Atma? Because Atma is not object of Atma. Atma is our Swarupam. Atma being my Swarupam. The very truth of I, the knower subject. Atma, the truth of knower subject, cannot be the object of knowledge, cannot be known. Therefore he says, we do not know. He includes all other teachers also, the parampara. Therefore he uses the plural verb, expression plural verb. Then first na vidmaha, we do not know. Again he is na vijanimaha, we do not know. How to communicate this other than this? What is it? Anyadevatade, that Atma, all the abstract, subtlest vastu, the reality, the only vastu which alone is. There's nothing other than this vastu is. That vastu, anyate, distinct, anyadevatate, distinct from what? Viditat. Distinct from the known. Known means manifest universe. Known means the effect in the form of the universe. Is it clear? Aviditat adhi is also different from what? Aviditam is distinct from even the unknown cause, unmanifest also. Means, this morning I said, unknown means the unmanifest maya, unmanifest power is also mithya. Whether the power is manifest or unmanifest, power is mithya. Is it clear? Why power manifest or unmanifest is mithya? Because it doesn't have independent existence. And what is satyam then? The source of the power alone is satyam. The source of power is Atma. Is it clear? Satya Atma, sadvastu is distinct from the manifest and unmanifest, cause and effect. Okay? Is distinct. This is how we can communicate. The teacher says what? There's no way. We do not know any other method of communicating Brahman. Because I told you, the question immediately, why the teacher does not teach directly, why is he using indirect method, the question was asked. For that answer is given here. The teacher himself says, you know, vayam na jani maha yatha anusishyad, we do not know how to communicate Brahman, how to teach Brahman. Why? Because the very source of the power, unmanifested manifested power, And what about the words and mind and sense organs? They're all manifestations of power. So beautiful. Do you see that? All these tools, all these instruments, all these means of communication, everything is within the realm of manifestation, within the realm of manifest power. How can the source of power be known through all these instruments which are part of the material world? Therefore, this is how we can give the answer only indirectly. Viditat aviditat adhi. Now, iti shushrumaha purvesham. And he says, this is how we hear the teaching. From whom? Purvesham. Purvesha means our predecessors, our teachers. Teachers who come in this unbroken lineage of teachers. Sampradaya. No? All the teachers have been following this method. This is how they communicated. It is Shushruma Purvesham. And ye naha tad vyacha chakshire. Who had expounded this wisdom to us. Okay. This is the methodology used by our predecessors. This is how they communicated to us. This is how they expounded. Vicha chakshire. Vyacha chakshire. Ye naha tad vyacha chakshire. These are they expounded the truth, reality, vastu to us. So same methodology, same thing, the same way I have to also answer. Okay, which means? So you can see how important it is to follow sampradaya teaching methodology. That, can you believe Keno Upanishad teaches says vayam na vijani maha yatha yetad anusishyat. Listening to this, we should not think he does not know. What he says is we do not know any other method of communicating the truth. Because truth, whatever we are using here, even the mind which we are using now itself is what? Already manifestation of the power of reality. Using this power, we have to understand the source of the power. Is it clear now? That is why we are not, the reality is not communicate as an object of thought. But Shastra's words, when unfolded correctly, handled, they'll help you arrive at the reality as the very truth of the mind, source of the mind, source of thought, not as an object of thought. Is it clear? Reality has to be arrived at as the source of thought, swarupam of thought, essential nature of thought, not as an object of thought. It is very, very, very important line. Anya devatad viditad aviditad adhi. This is how ye naha vyacha chakshire iti shushruma purvesham. This is how we have heard from our predecessors, teachers. This is how they had expounded it to us, the truth to us. Okay. Third mantra is over. Every word is clear now. Every word should be clear here. Na tatra chakshur gachyati. Why it cannot go? Now you know that. It doesn't go means why? How can sense power have any access to Atma? Impossible. This other Swami, he used to say, photographer cannot be in front of camera. He must be behind the camera. Na tatra chakshur gachyati. Na vaag gachyati. No manaha. Na vidmaha. Na vijanimaha. Yatha. Yetad. Anusishyat. Anyadevatad. Viditat. Atho. Aviditat. Adhi. Iti sushruma. Purvesham. Ye nastad vyacha chakshire. So ye, those people, those predecessors who had expounded to us that truth, this is how they had taught us. We do not know any other method. So the two verbs are there, na vidmaha, na vijanimaha. Both verbs mean what? We do not know, we do not know. When they first they say na vidmaha, we do not know, then the author means, the teacher means, we do not know Atma, which means Atma is not object, therefore we do not know. And then na vijanimaha means we do not know how to communicate this Brahman in any other way, because it is the very source of manifest, unmanifest power, cause and effect. It is distinct from everything. Okay. We move on to the next mantra. And here onwards, I tried to bring all contents of Shankara's commentary here. You have not missed anything. Okay? Yad vacha anabhyuditam. Yad vacha anabhyuditam. Yena vaag abhyudyate. Yena vaag abhyudhyate. Tadeva brahma tvam vidhi nedam yadidam upasate. Now what we have already understood in the second answer is, we have understood little more elaborately in the third answer. Now again we are going to understand elaborately in these mantras. And now in this mantra, in the first line, yadvacha anabhyuditam yena vaag abhyudhyate, the first line Atma Swarupam is revealed. Tvampada lakshyartha. Tvampada lakshyartha. Or what is tvampada lakshyartha? Do you know that? You know what lakshyartha, vachyartha? Okay. Tvampada lakshyartha means the implied meaning of the word tvam, second person singular pronoun tvam. The essential nature of the individual. You say essential nature of the individual means what? Swarupam, Atmaswarupam. Okay? Atmaswarupam is revealed in the first mantra. Atmaswarupam is unfolded in the first mantra, first line of the mantra. The second line, that Atmaswarupam is equated to Jagat Swarupam, equated to Brahma. Second line, oneness of the reality is established. So it says, that in Chandogya Upanishad, which is also Samaveda Upanishad, there Mahavakyam Tat Tvam as he comes, isn't it? The Tat is a third person singular pronoun, which means that. That stands for the truth, absolute reality, ultimate truth implied by the term Brahma. Truth of the whole cosmos is implied by the term Tad. The third person singular pronoun Tad stands for the truth of the entirety. And Tvam, second person singular pronoun Tvam, stands for the truth of the individual. So Tat Tvam Asi is a Mahavakyam. And Mahavakyam is a statement which reveals the identity between the Jiva and the Ishvara. What is a Mahavakyam? A Mahavakyam is a great Vedic declaration where the oneness of the individual and the total is revealed. A statement itself is called Mahavakyam because it reveals the identity between the individual and the total. Is an equation. I already explained to you. Equation is possible only if there is both difference and non-difference between the two. If difference alone is there, equation cannot be made. If non-difference is there, equation is not necessary. Is it clear? So, between the individual and the total, microcosmic being and the macrocosmic being, between these two, if there is only difference, equation is not possible. If this non-difference alone is there, equation is not necessary. But there must be difference as well as non-difference, only then equation is possible. From one standpoint, there must be difference. From another standpoint, there must be non-difference. If difference and non-difference both are there, then equation is possible. Okay, what the basic equation that they taught you? When you say wave is ocean means wave is equated to ocean. And how can wave be equated to ocean? Wave is so huge, and the ocean is such huge, wave is such a tiny little one. They can be equated. Because as there is, from the standpoint of form, there's difference between wave and ocean. The standpoint of water, the truth of wave and ocean, there's non-difference. Therefore, equation is possible. Which means, essentially, wave is water. Essentially, ocean also is water. And the water is the truth, satyam. The form and name, whether a big form, ocean also is mithya. Tiny little form, wave also is mithya. because both forms are no, no, there's no, forms are not countable, because in the, so what big form ocean, still it is mithya, because even the ocean big form doesn't have independent existence. Similarly, the wave form is small form doesn't have independent existence. The wave form small, it is mithya. The big form ocean is also mithya, because both forms are mithya, both names, the words are also mithya. Ocean, the word is mithya, the word wave is mithya, and the forms denoted by those forms are also mithya. And all the functions which are associated with this wave and ocean are also mithya. What is satyam then? Water alone is satyam. Why? Without water, everything will collapse. From the standpoint of the truth without which the even difference is not possible. Difference also is mithya. Wave is mithya, ocean is mithya, wave, ocean, difference also is mithya from the standpoint of water. Water only is satyam. The standpoint of water, there is no difference. Okay, so from the standpoint of water, there is non-difference. The standpoint of form, name and function, there is difference. Therefore, wave is ocean, that equation can be made. Similarly, you are that, and the Upanishad says, you are that truth. You are that Brahman. Brahman means the whole. You are Brahman means you are tiny little individual equated to the inexplicably vast cosmos. How can you are that? How can you be equated to that whole? You are the whole means from the standpoint of form, name and functions, upadhis. Upadhi. Sharira Deha Upadhi. All this body, mind and complex are upadhis. The standpoint of upadhis, there is difference between you and the whole. Microcosmic being and macrocosmic being. You can call it Ishvara. Between you, the individual, and the Lord, the whole, there is difference in the standpoint of upadhis. The standpoint of the truth of you and the total, there is non-difference. It is non-difference in the standpoint of essential nature of microcosmic and macrocosmic beings is what? Is revealed by the Mahavakya. Okay? That's called Mahavakya. That's why equation here. And that equation is made in the second sentence of the mantra. First seventh sentence reveals the Atma Swarupam, and later on that Swarupam, which is you are that Swarupam, and therefore you are the standpoint of that Swarupam. From the standpoint of that Swarupam, you are non-different from the whole. Okay? Which we'll come back and see tomorrow. So tomorrow we'll start the fourth mantra. Is it clear? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om. See, I know the Mahavakyam, you must have heard already, but here again the topic is going to become a little differently, it is presented here. So I want to introduce today, so we can continue tomorrow. I'm sure today you're all clear. Tatra chakshuhana gacchati. Where all these factors don't have any access, cannot go near Atma. And you are that Atma. we have beautiful verses coming up again. Mantras are there. This understanding just is mind-blowing. All the problems are centered on I. I am sick. Body is sick. Body is death. It's okay. I will die. Body will die. I die. So, it's all the problem is centered on I. So that I you resolve. Where is I? How after resolving cognitively wave into water, saying wave is water, there's no wave. Whenever it is physically we are not doing anything. Intellectually appreciating the fact. It's understanding of the fact. Wave is water. When you say, you are intellectually resolving the form, name and function called wave in water. Once you resolve it cognitively, next sentence is what? Where is wave? There is only water. Similarly, when you resolve I sense in consciousness, I am consciousness, I am Atma means where is I? There is only Atma. Okay. This is what is said to be offering oneself to Bhagavan. Cognitively resolving your identity. You can't physically give. You all must have heard this story in Bhagavatam. Mahabalihi. Have you all heard? Balihi means offering. And Mahabalihi, he was called Bali Chakravarti, Mahabalihi, emperor. And Bhagavan comes as a dwarf, Vamanaha. Comes and asks for some, like comes as like a small beggar, like a beggar, asks for something to give. Mahabali sees a tiny little puny person. What do you want? What? 3 feet land. Are you sure? No, how big emperor I am, you are coming and asking me, belittling me, asking me about 3 feet land. That too, you are such a dwarf puny fellow. You are 3 feet only this much. It's okay, doesn't matter. Give me that much, isn't it? Okay, once okay, he says, this dwarf goes into huge. Give me 3 feet land. 1 foot, whole jagat is gone. It's called resolving, okay, resolution. How beautifully the Puranas drive home subtle facts. The whole jagat is resolved, 1 foot. Next foot, all other lokas have gone. Nothing is left now to put the third foot. Where can I put? The entire objective universe have been resolved in 2 feet. Third foot, where can I put? He has promised, I'll give. Because we were very proud before. Now he didn't know what to do. Everything has been given. Everything has been offered. Everything has been given. Nothing he has now to give. The entire known has been given. Now who is the only one thing baki? What is that left behind? Knower I. Knower I alone is there. Third foot. Knower I alone is there. Gave his head like this. Head symbolizes. Head is a head symbolizes knower I. I has no form. So head is a symbol for I. When he put his head like this, Bhagavan put his foot there, which means I has been taken away. Knower is resolved. The known is resolved. Knower is resolved. Known is resolved. The known and the unknown was 2 feet. Knower status is resolved. Only Bhagavan is there. Again, I has gone. That's why offering one's own self to Bhagavan is the highest form of offering. The most exalted form of offering is what? All the offerings. We give so many things to Bhagavan. I give you this, I give you this, I give you this. Bhagavan wants you, not yours. So the most exalted form of offerings is what? Offering one's own self to Bhagavan. Because once the offerer himself is offered, the act of offering will come to an end. The act of offering cannot continue. Why? The offerer himself has been offered. That is why the exalted form of offering is offering the offerer, with which the act of offering will come to an end. He offered himself means, offering one's own self means what? Seeing oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan. How can you see yourself being non-separate from Bhagavan? Only when you see what you are essentially. If you see yourself as body, mind and complex, you cannot help seeing yourself being different from Bhagavan. If you see yourself being, you see your essential nature, you can see how you are non-separate from Bhagavan. The whole. Okay? This is what is offering oneself to Bhagavan. Cognitively resolving one's individuality in totality is offering oneself to Bhagavan, which is Jnanam. That is why Mahabalihi. The greatest of the offerings is what? Offering one's own self to Bhagavan. Offering oneself means resolving one's identity with Bhagavan. Resolving one's individuality in totality. Resolving, you know, identifying oneself with Bhagavan. Truth, Atma, not with Anatma. In Anatma identity, you are different from Bhagavan. The water is the wave is identified with the form, it is different from the ocean. And if the water, it is non-different from ocean. Mahabali. Anyway, just because nobody asked questions, I was talking. all stories are beautiful. They reveal subtle facts are revealed through stories. Symbolic. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. May Bhagavan bless all of us with a very, very, very clear understanding of the teaching. May all of us benefit from the understanding of the teaching.